Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text, Mark 8, is not listed in any of our Sunday lectionaries currently used, but it fits well as an auxiliary text during the week, bringing out the theme of Michaeltide, which is those elements in our life, the life of the baptized, that war against the soul as the Christian lives, awaiting the last day. In this incident at Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man to Jesus, begging him to touch the man. Perhaps they had heard that others had been healed by the mere touch of his garment. Whether this man was blind from birth or as a result of injury or disease, we don't know. But we do know that he was in desperate condition and needed help. Blind, you know, always are aware of their burden. If they should forget it for a moment, a rude bump or an unexpected stumble will remind them abruptly of their helplessness. But the blindness that is far worse than physical blindness is spiritual blindness. This is characterized by St. Paul when he writes, "What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him." And again, speaking of idolaters, he writes of their senseless minds being darkened. And Jesus says much the same thing of those who do not hear and believe his parables. And their eyes they have closed, lest they should perceive with their eyes. This is the desperate condition of the spiritually blind. They know and care nothing for God's sacrificial love in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is no more to them than a swear word, or at best a vague and uncertain character in history. But to be without Christ is to be without God and without any hope in this world. The hopeless character of spiritual blindness is this: those who are spiritually blind are themselves the last ones to admit such blindness. In fact, they suppose themselves to be the possessors of true light. The Pharisees, with their valueless righteousness, suppose themselves to be the bright lights of their time, and had many people believing it. They, in fact, felt that they needed no enlightenment from Jesus, other than perhaps intellectual. But they did not need the day star to arise in their hearts to dispel the darkness of sin by his forgiving love. As Jesus takes aside this blind man and deals mercifully with him, shows us that he, as the eternal Son of God, has power to heal all blindness of body and soul. Note that Jesus took the man by the hand and led him out of the village. He singles out this man for his attention and the bestowal of his help. We know that he reaches out with his mercy to the individual sinner today, for he demonstrates this by his personal promises of mercy to us. When you receive the Lord's Supper, Jesus is taking you aside personally, as he took the blind man by the hand, and is making his promise of mercy and pardon directly to you. For the words "for you" are as direct and as personal as they can be. See how the power of the eternal Son of God is shown. First, Jesus spits on the eye of the blind man and lays his hands upon him. Partial vision is restored. Then Jesus laid his hands on the man's eyes, and he could see everything clearly. This, we note, is the only miracle of Jesus which he accomplished in gradual stages, and which did not affect an immediate cure. We wonder why. Perhaps, as some scholars suggest, it was done to aid the faith of the man. These obviously inadequate means of spittle and laying on of hands were to draw attention to Jesus' person as the one who was actually bestowing the power and healing by his own authority. All thought of magic was dispelled. Nor should we despise the simple means by which his power to give light comes to us. As he declares, "I am come to proclaim liberty to the captive and recovering of sight to the blind." Jesus' power is still healing blindness, spiritual blindness, which is the worst kind, by the power in the simple and humble means of speech, water, bread, wine. Who are we to despise or neglect these means when the power of the Son of God is contained in them and works through them? Even though now we see in a mirror dimly, to complete the Michael-dyed scene, one day perfect vision shall be ours, when we come to the perfect light and the endless day of eternity, described by St. John as follows: "And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light shall the nations walk, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it. And its gates shall never be shut by day, and there shall be no night there. And night shall be no more. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they shall reign forever and ever."